what is called Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj. Wallahu alam. I'm not sure about Surah At-Tawbah. Purifying the Haram meant that Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu was anything that was contrary to the Islamic teachings. Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu was told to make sure that everything was in conformance to Islam. This was what is meant by purifying the Haram. Common question that is asked is that why did the Prophet ﷺ delay the Hajj till the 10th year of Hijrah? Now, as I mentioned, there are two opinions as to when Hajj becomes farz upon a person. Does it become farz on a person immediately, or does it become farz on a person at a deferred time? So the preferred opinion is that once a person comes into possession of wealth, enough wealth, and that he has the capability of traveling for the Hajj and providing enough for his family to stay at home without coming under any kind of difficult situation and difficult circumstances, then he is obligated to go and perform the Hajj. So Hajj is farz immediately once a person comes into possession. Why the Prophet ﷺ delayed the Hajj till the 10th year of Hijrah are the following reasons. Makkah at the time was under non-Muslim control to some degree. Nasi, distortion of the lunar calendar by the Arabs, this was very common. That the Arabs, they would add days to the lunar calendar, similar to how the Jews add days to the lunar calendar. The Jews also follow the lunar calendar. Muslims follow the lunar calendar, and the Jews as well, they follow the lunar calendar. But if you notice, Passover, Yom Kippur, the holidays that the Jews celebrate, they fall on the same dates each and every year. Yom Kippur, Passover, they fall each year on the same date. But they claim that we follow the lunar calendar. This is because they intercalate days. Intercalating days means they add days to the lunar calendar. You understand? So, no, that's different. Nasi, this is adding days. Yeah, and yeah, innaman nasi uziyad, yes. This is the ayah, yeah. So this is called intercalating days, adding days to the lunar calendar so that their holidays fall on the same date in the solar calendar each and every year. So our Eids, you know, we are celebrating Eid every single year, you know, 10 days back, right? We are celebrating Eid 10 days back. But the Jewish people, they celebrate their Passover and Yom Kippur each and every year. It's the same date. It falls on the same date. But when you ask them, right? If you ask any Jew, any Orthodox Jew, if you were to ask that, do you follow the solar calendar for your ibadat or do you follow the lunar? They would say we follow the lunar calendar. They follow the lunar calendar. This is what the Jews do. They follow the lunar calendar, but they intercalate days. They add days. So distortion of the lunar, and this was something that was very common amongst the Arabs because they wanted to fight. And what they would do is that they would say that, okay, you know, we want to continue fighting, and this month is not one of the sanctified months. It's not the month of Zilqadah. They would say, okay, this is the month of Rajab, and they would continue their fighting. So because of this distortion of the lunar calendar by the Arabs, this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he delayed in performing the Hajj immediately, right? Rather, he deferred. He did the Hajj late, alat tarakhi. Presence of mushrikun and their corrupt practices in Makkah at the time, it was, as I said, the teachings and the ta'aleem of Islam, they were found in Makkah after the Prophet ﷺ and the conquest of Makkah took place, but they were still qareeb قَرِيبِ لِلْكُفَرِ. They were still very close to kufr. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to make sure that all practices were eradicated from Makkah. Non-obligated till after Hajj in the 9th year. So it wasn't obligatory until after the 9th year of Hijrah. So these are 4 reasons why the Prophet ﷺ delayed the Hajj till the 10th year of Hijrah. So Makkah was under Muslim control, Nasi, distortion of the lunar calendar by the Arabs, presence of mushrikun and their corrupt practices, and not obligated till after Hajj in the 9th year. So Hajj is obligatory with the following conditions. One has to be Muslim, one has to be free. So it wasn't something that was obligatory upon the slaves. Sound state of mind, one has to be of sound state, aqil. One has to be an adult, one has to be healthy. So if a person is sick, he's suffering from diabetes or he's suffering from any kind of sickness, then of course it would be impossible for this individual to perform Hajj. Or if the person is extremely old, right, and you know, it would be difficult for him to, you know, constantly keep moving from Mina to from Mina to Arafah, and from Arafah to Muzdalifah, and from Muzdalifah back to Mina, and then Rami, and then after Rami, you know, sacrifice, and then Halak, and then Tawaf Ziyarah. It's very difficult. Hajj is extremely difficult. Possession of extra wealth that suffices for transportation, provisions, and maintenance of one's family or other financial obligations till return. Because generally speaking, even now, from the United States, it takes about, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, for the preparations and to go there and coming back. It takes a good solid 2 weeks. And then there's so many different packages that are available, some, you know, the express package, and then there's the, you know, super deluxe and all of these various packages. And one has to make sure that, and if 4 people are going, that's gonna cost about, you know, $20,000. It's become a big business. You know, I think there's one brother who is going from Farmington Hills. He was telling me that you know, I'm paying for myself, my wife, and my 2 kids. I'm paying $20,000. Who has $20,000 spare, you know, sitting around in this day and age, specifically in this economic climate? It's extremely difficult. So one has to make sure that he has extra wealth that suffices for transportation, for provisions and maintenance of one's family or other financial obligations till the return. Right? Some people are living from, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And if a person misses, you know, 2-3 weeks of work, then for him, and then, you know, if he comes back, then he's going to be in a very extremely difficult state. Yeah. So it wouldn't be obligatory for this person to perform the Hajj. He has to make sure that he has sufficient wealth and he can meet all of his financial obligations for the next, you know, month, and he can spare, you know, not working for 2-3 weeks. So these are the conditions: Muslim, free, sound state of mind, adult, healthy, possession of extra wealth that suffices for transportation, provisions, maintenance of one's family or other financial obligations till the return. Yes, then of course, then he wouldn't be obligated. If he's not getting any time off work, then it is not obligatory for him to, you know, go for Hajj if he's not getting time off. Yes, baligh. Because it's Hajj is only baligh upon those who are mukallaf, those who have the capacity of fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are not mature, they are not mukallaf yet. Yes, the fariziyat would be, yes, his fariziyat would be fulfilled. Yeah, his farz Hajj would stand as fulfilled. Yes, then no. Yeah, then no. But if the child is 18, 19, or he has reached the age of maturity and he's baligh, then even if the father takes the son or the daughter for Hajj, then the farz would stand as valid. The farz is valid. Ji? No, that's not a requisite. It is, yeah, that's not a requisite, as long as the person, you know, conducts the Hajj with the father, whether he has money or if he doesn't, the Hajj would stand as valid. It would be considered as his farz Hajj. Yes, absolutely. His, yeah. Yes. So, but because he has gone now, someone else has provided him with the money and the means. So his farz would be ada. His farz hajj would be ada. Yeah, his farz is already done. He is not obligated to go again. It is not necessary for him to go again because his farz, it was already completed when he went. So one additional requirement for women is that they would need a mahram. So if a woman does not have a mahram, for example, some women, they have not gone for hajj, and you know, when they get older, then they decide to go. But at that time, you know, the husband really doesn't want to take them. So, you know, the son ends up taking them. Or you know, someone else ends up taking the brother or one of the relatives of the sister or the woman takes her. But regardless, it is a requisite that a mahram accompany a woman if she is to go for the hajj. If no mahram, that's not permitted. Once again, the hajj would stand as valid. But it is not permitted for a woman to do this. She would be extremely sinful. Yeah. A woman is required to have a mahram accompany her if she is to go for the hajj. So hajj, mandatory immediately or with delay. This is something I already explained. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, and Imam Abu Yusuf, who is a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, immediately. Otherwise, one will be sinful. And the hadith that they quote is man arad al hajj falyata'ajjal, that whoever intends the hajj, whoever intends to go for hajj, then he should do so immediately. He should not delay, he should not tarry, right? He should go for hajj immediately. This hadith is narrated in Abu Dawud. Imam Shafi and Imam Muhammad was one of the junior students of Abu Hanifa. According to them, with delay it can be done, ala taraqi, with delay, as long as it is not neglected totally. Therefore, one will not be sinful by delaying it, but if he dies before performing it, he will be. But if he dies before performing it, he will be sinful. Their evidence is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ delayed it till the 10th year of Hijrah. I already explained that there were reasons why the Prophet ﷺ delayed. The preferred opinion is the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, and Imam Abu Yusuf, that Hajj should be done immediately and it should not be delayed if one has the means to go for Hajj. Yes, yeah, he can make a wasiyat. Yeah, he can make a bequest that after I die, if the person has not performed the hajj, then he can make this wasiyat that you know, once I die, I don't have the ability to go for hajj right now, but once I die, my heirs on my behalf, they can go and do the hajj. Yeah, he can make this wasiyat. Yes, his farziyat would be ada. If his heirs conduct the hajj on his behalf, his farziyat would stand as fulfilled. Then the heirs should be wise enough to go on their family's behalf. The heirs should make all. It's similar to, there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was asked that, Ya Rasulullah, should I conduct hajj on my father's behalf? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. Would you not, you know, fulfill your father's debt if he had any debt? Right? If he had some monetary debt that had to be repaid, would you not fulfill that debt? So of course, the heirs are required to make sure that there is no outstanding debt. There is no outstanding balance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And everything should stand as fulfilled, whether it is fasting or hajj, or even salat. Fidya should be given for salat as well, if there is any outstanding salat. Yeah, once if a person who is eligible to receive the zakat, if the person decides to use that money to go for Hajj, that's fine. Once that money now belongs to him, he can do whatever he wants with it. It comes in his possession. Uski milkiyat mein wo paise aa gaya. Wo paise unki milkiyat mein aa gaye. To jo bhi ye shakhs jo bhi chahe wo kar sakta hai. It is makruh. It is makruh. It is reprehensible to give that much wealth where a person himself becomes sahib nisab. In certain cases, it is permissible, depending on the person's situation. Depending on the person's situation, it would be jaiz. But once again, the situation has to be looked at. Okay, so the ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and complete the Hajj and Umrah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Hajj step by step. And hopefully, when we do go for Hajj, whenever we go for Hajj, this, inshallah, this is the whole procedure from beginning to the end. I don't think the screen is big enough. Okay. I got it. Can we make it bigger? Can everyone read this? Okay, that's it. All the brothers can read this?
If you put that, more screen back.
Well, you can make a section like it.
Okay. Yeah.
You can pull it back.
Towards you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, just keep it forward. I'll read it out, inshallah. Bring it more forward. Yeah, bas. Jazakallah khayna. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Okay. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, bas. Okay, so the first and foremost, this is the whole procedure for Hajj. It's very simple. It's not difficult at all. Ihram, cleaning oneself, ghusl. Of course, this is not possible if you're traveling from the United States, and you can, before leaving for the airport, one can do the ghusl. Of course, this is something that can be done from Pakistan or India or Bangladesh if you're traveling from there. So to clean yourself with ghusl, by conducting the ghusl, this is sunnah and it is recommended. The Prophet ﷺ, before donning the ihram, he did the ghusl. Wearing the ihram garments. Now the ihram garments generally should be worn before crossing the miqat. Okay, so there's specific miqat all around. It'll come, inshallah. About 1 hour, if you're traveling from the United States, then approximately 1 hour prior to arrival in Jeddah, they'll announce that we are about to cross the miqat. We'll cross it within the next hour. So at that time, we should immediately go to the bathroom or go to the back and wear our ihram. Right? So all clothes will be taken off, only these two sheets. Now, about the ihram, it is very difficult for some people because no one is used to wearing, the lungis or the tahbans. It's extremely difficult. What you can do is, for the bottom part, the top part is not too hard, but for the bottom part, the tahband or the lungi, go to Joann Fabrics and purchase one of those, what is it called, those adhesive strips. Right, the Velcro strap, and glue it onto the ihram, right, from Joann Fabrics, right? And in this way, instead of tying the ihram and constantly thinking about it falling down, you don't have to worry about it throughout the whole Hajj, and it's not soon as well. So you're just gluing it. They have special glue. It doesn't take too long. It's very simple. It's very simple. And all you need to do is that make sure that it's properly, you know, it's properly stuck on and it won't fall off. You don't have to worry about it, especially when you go for some, you know, some people, they're very, you know, they're constantly, I think they're trying to, you know, yeah, straighten their ihram more than anything. It's very, it's quite hard, you know, especially if you're not used to it. So this is what alternatively you could do, right? If you have the sheets already, then just go to Joann Fabrics, purchase those Velcro straps and glue them on. They're special glue, clothing. And inshallah, in this way, you don't have to worry about the ihram falling down. Or you can always purchase from, you know, one of the stores in the haram, you know, Bin Dawood or something. But they cost about 80, 90 riyal. Yeah, they have buttons as well, but I think the Velcro strap one, I found them to be a lot more comfortable, the Velcro straps. Yeah, they do have the button one, and buttons are fine, right? There is, as long as nothing is sewn on, buttons are perfect. But in my experience, the Velcro strap is the best. I've used it, and I found it to be very, very comfortable. You don't have to worry about anything. Okay, so wearing the ihram garments, we make the intention for Umrah. If we're going to Makkah first, we make intention for Umrah, that Allahumma inni uridu al-Umrah, fayassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni. Fayassirha li wa taqabbalaha minni. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am making intention for Umrah, so accept it and make it easy for me. After which, recite Talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. This is the talbiyah. Once this talbiyah is recited, then officially this person is in ihram. Everything becomes forbidden. Right? No hat is allowed. Nothing is allowed. Right? Using the soap. Right? Wearing clothing. You know, socks. You know, the chappals have to be changed. Make sure that the chappals that are worn, they are the, you know, the double strapped chappals. Both bones must be visible. This bone over here must be visible, and this bone here must be visible. So if our chappals are covering either one of these two bones, then a penalty will be lazim. A penalty becomes obligatory. So we have to make sure that the chappals don't cover the bones. So avoid forbidden acts of ihram. Inshallah, this is something I'll go through as well. This is a very broad, broad overview of the whole Hajj procedure. Number two, Umrah. We're going from left to right. Umrah, make tawaf. If you go to Medina, then you're not obligated to wear the ihram from Jeddah. If you're going from Jeddah to Medina, yeah, then the miqat over there is called Zul Hulayfa. So from Zul Hulayfa, you're going to, you know, wear the ihram from Zul Hulayfa. And there's a masjid over there at Zul Hulayfa as well. Okay, so number two, make tawaf around the Kaaba. When going for Umrah, you enter from Babul Umrah if you can. It's very difficult, but if you can, there's no hotel on that side anymore. It's completely empty. That whole side now is gone. The whole Shamia side is gone. Where the madrasa was, Madrasa Sultiya, that's gone as well. There's no more madrasa there. Madrasa Sultiya has been relocated to an area which I don't even know yet. So that has gone. The only two areas is Shari Ibrahim, Ibrahim Khalil Road, and there's a hotel near the Zamzam. The hotel's near on that side where the hospital and everything is. The hotels on that side are still there. Everything else is now part of this, part of the extension. So there's no stores anywhere. And so if you can go from Babul Umrah, then you should do so. If not, then you can go from any gate. Make tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times. They don't have that strip anymore. They have the light over there. So just try your best and align yourself with the light. And do istilam of Hajar Aswad, Bismillah Allah Akbar, Walillah Alhamd, and kiss your palms. The insides of your palm, not the outside. Just raise your hands up to, you know, takbir level, and, you know, Bismillah Allah Akbar, Walillah Alhamd, and kiss your palms. After completing the 7 circuits around the Kaaba, you should have some kind of tasbih or something just to make sure that you're counting correctly. After completing them, you pray 2 rakat behind Maqam Ibrahim if you find space. If not, then you can pray anywhere in the Haram. After this, you will make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. This is a very broad overview. I'm going to go into detail later on. Make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. After making sa'i, you can trim hair and remove the ihram garments. Either you can trim the hair, right, up to Unmula, or you can just shave. Okay, or you can just shave the head. And in this way, it is now permissible to take off the ihram. Now, this is Hajj al-Tamattu specifically. Now this person, he has completed his umrah, he is in the hotel, he is relaxing. Once the day for Hajj comes in, it is obligated for him to go to Mina. Okay? So going to Mina, put on the ihram garments again, right? And I would suggest washing the ihram garments before putting them on again. If you go to Dhobi, it's going to be really expensive. You might as well just wash it yourself. Dhobi is going to charge like 20, 30 riyals just to wash ihram garments. Who charges 20, 30 riyals to wash ihram garments? Just take, some Tide from Walmart, one of those packaged Tides, and, wash it in your hotel. And then just dry it. All you need is make sure that it smells good. You don't want to put on a dirty ihram. Right? And the hotel will provide you with a bucket. These are small things that you should know, so you don't have to worry about purchasing a new ihram. Ihram tends to get dirty. Okay, so put on the ihram garments again. Make intention for Hajj. Allahumma inni uridul Hajj, fayassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I intend Hajj. I intend to perform the Hajj. Make it easy for me and accept it for me. Now, this day is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. Yawm al-Tarwiyah generally was where they would, water the camels and the animals and everything. This was considered this the day where you can relax a little bit. Once you go to Mina, reach your tent, you can relax the whole day. Just offer your prayers over there. And this is the 8th of Zilhijjah. I think it's going to fall this year. It's going to fall on, it's going to fall on the 5th, because the 6th is most likely the 6th Sunday is the Eid, so that would be the 10th, right? Yeah, 10th. 10th Zilhijjah is the Eid, yeah. So 8th Zilhijjah, you will offer all salawat there, starting from the Zuhr and ending with the Fajr prayer on the day of Arafah. Okay, so Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr on the 9th. Right, the 9th day is Arafah. So Fajr on the day of Arafah will be done in Mina. Okay, number 4, going to Arafah. Leave for Arafah on morning of 9th Zilhijjah. Right, the buses are going to take you there. It is permitted to walk. Some people walk. Right, I didn't walk. I walked from Arafah to Muzdalifah and from Muzdalifah to Mina. I walked. I think it's a lot more easier to walk, even though it's far. But it'll take you 2 hours. There's many people walking. There's a massive bridge. And it's just more convenient to walk. There's just too many people. And sitting in the bus, it's extremely difficult and tiring. And it takes very long. Some people don't even reach Muzdalifah. Bichara, they have to go straight to Mina. Right, so their Maghrib, you offer in Muzdalifah. If you never reach there, then you have to do it on the way. Yeah, you have to do it. There's a massive traffic jam. Every single year, there's a big traffic jam. Anyway, so leave for Arafah on the morning of 9th Zilhijjah and stay until sunset. Okay? So stay in any part of Arafah. Ghusl at the time is also sunnat over there in Arafah. Just don't use any soap. If you want to use soap, then use unscented soap. Although I would advise against it, because how long are you in ihram? Right? Don't comb the hair or anything. And try not to rub the body when taking a bath. As I said, you can use unscented soap. And specifically speaking, unscented soap can be found at Rite Aid. just for your information. It's called Toms of Maine, if you've heard of it. Toms of Maine. It's natural soap. So that can be purchased, and you can use that soap. It has no scent whatsoever. Okay. So now stay in any part of Arafah. Glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no specific zikr. Repeat supplication. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Pray Zuhr and Asr. Shorten and combine during the time of Zuhr. This is only in the case where there is an imam. Where there is an imam and there is a khutbah. If there is no imam, there is no khutbah, then prayer will be offered at its proper timing. Right, so Zuhr at Zuhr time, Asr at Asr time. So you're going to be in your own tent most likely, and you will offer Zuhr at Zuhr time and Asr at Asr time. Okay, so now you have spent Maghrib over there. You're not going to offer Maghrib. You're not going to do Maghrib in Arafah. Maghrib and Isha will be conducted in Muzdalifah. So at sunset, after sunset takes place, leave for Muzdalifah soon after sunset on the 9th Zulhijjah. Perform Maghrib and Isha, right? Both prayers will be combined. Isha is shortened to 2 rakats for travelers. And stay, Maghrib and Isha will be done in Muzdalifah, and stay overnight over there. You camp out in Muzdalifah, and you will perform the Fajr prayer in Muzdalifah, right? If you can. For the brothers traveling with their wives, they can send them forward to Mina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that with his wives. Hazrat Sauda radhiyallahu ta'ala anha was sent ahead to Mina. She did not spend the night in Muzdalifah. So it is not obligatory for women to spend the night if they are weak or if they have some taqaza or something, then they can go straight to Mina. Yeah, it's preferred not to. Because the stay in Muzdalifah is wajib. It is wajib to stay in Muzdalifah. So if there is no reason for the person to go with his wife, then he himself should stay in Muzdalifah. Or else he would be liable for giving a penalty, right? And or dam if he did not do the stay in Muzdalifah. So he can send his family, his wife ahead. And in the bus or something, and they can go straight to the tents. I think they have accommodation for them. Most women, they go straight. Okay, so going to Muzdalifah, stay overnight and perform the Fajr prayer. Now a person, shortly before sunrise, leave Muzdalifah for Mina. Okay, so this is the 10th. Now the 10th has happened, the 10th day has come in. 10th of Zilhijjah, this is the day of Eid. Right, we celebrate Eid. Over there they're doing the rites of Hajj, the remainder of Hajj. Proceed to Mina shortly before sunrise. Leave Muzdalifah for Mina, go to Jamaratul Aqaba and stone seven times. So in Muzdalifah you're going to pick up some stones, right? A total of what, 70, how many? 72? 72. So, 72, you will pick up 72 wo kankriya. They give it, when you're walking to Muzdalifah, little kids in little bags, they'll just give it to you, right? So you can just take them and use them. But make sure they are from Muzdalifah, right? And they should be small. They shouldn't be massive stones, because you're not really stoning the shaitan. You're just, it's more of a symbolic gesture than, stoning the actual shaitan. So, on this day, on Mina, on the 10th day, shortly before sunrise, you will leave for Mina. You will go to Jamaratul Aqaba, the first Jamarat, and stone it with 7 pebbles. Slaughter your sacrifice, and shave your head or trim the hair, and take off the ihram garments. So all ihram restrictions are lifted except relationship with the wife. Everything can be used except relationship with the wife. After which, on that day, Tawaful Ifada will be performed. Tawaful Ifada or Tawaful Rukun or Tawaf Ziyarat, as it is called. There are many names. These are the 3 names. Tawaful Ifada will be done. This is Farz. Tawaful Ifada is Farz. And the time for Tawaful Ifada is from the 10th to the 12th. If it is done after, then it is obligatory for this person to give dam, right? If it is done after the 12th. So all, this was something that I asked some scholars, that aajkal chunke ye jo zaba hota hai kafi der tak kabhi kabar asr tak wo lamba kar dete hain, to aajkal you know bahut mushkil ho jati hai ke aap makkah mein jaye aur phir tawaf e ifada kare. Isliye ke tawaf e ifada aam taur pe ye halak ke baad hota hai. Halak ye kya kehte hain, ye jamarat, rami zaba aur halak ke baad hota hai. To chunke tartib wajib hai hamare nazdeek, ye rami mein, zaba mein aur halak mein ye tartib hai, ye wajib tartib hai. Lekin gunjaish ulama ne di hai ke agar der lag jaye zaba mein to wo foran rami ke baad pehle wo koshish kare ke zaba kare, kisi ko wahan wakeel bana ke wo wahan jaye and he slaughters the animal. Agar der ho jaye to he can just shave his head and go straight to Makkah. A tartib does not have to be followed, and there's no dam as well, koi dam bhi iske upar lazim nahi hai, right? So he can go and he can do the halak, he can do the rami, he can do the halak, and he can go straight to Makkah and perform the tawaf ziyarat. Because the thing is that if the person delays, right, if the zaba is delayed, then you're going to have to do tawaf ziyarat the next day, or you know during the night, which is fine, but you don't want to delay. You want to make sure that everything is done on the 10th before Maghrib, preferably. Okay, so tawaf ziyarat on this 10th day is very difficult. Daswadin mein bahut sari cheeze hai. Right, this is the most difficult day of Hajj, because you know, there's too many things to do. So tawaf ifada will be performed, and sa'i between Safa and Marwa. This is the sa'i for Hajj. So it's very, very hard. So, and the tawaf, you know, there's many people doing tawaf at the time. It takes at least 2.5 hours, 2.5-3 hours. Sometimes, most likely, namaz is going to come in the middle as well. And then after that, on top, you know, sa'i is, you know, people are doing sa'i. So there's hardly any room. It's extremely, very, very difficult, the 10th of Zilhijjah. After tawaf ifada, all restrictions are lifted. You know, one can have relations, and everything is lifted. Okay. Ab return to Mina. So spending the tashriq days in Mina after Zuhr each day, stone the 3 jamarat. Right? So the nights will be spent in Mina, 11th, 12th. These nights will be spent in Mina. So after Zuhr each day, stone the 3 jamarat, starting with the small and ending with Al-Aqaba. Right? So there's 3 jamarat there. They will be stoned, right? 7, 7, 7. And you may leave on the 12th after stoning the 3 jamarat if you wish. Right? But if you stay there during the night, then you are obligated to stone on the 13th as well. Right? But only difference is that you can stone immediately after sunrise, right? Before Zawal. You can stone. You don't have to stay there and stone after Zuhr. Okay? Everything will come in detail. This is just a brief overview so that everything is understood. Okay. After completing the Jamarat, completing stoning the Jamarat for the 11th and 12th, the farewell tawaf should be conducted. This is called at-tawaf al-wida. This is wajib. This tawaf is wajib. If a woman is in that time of the month, then she is not obligated to conduct this tawaf. If, of course, it is farz for the woman to do the tawaf ziyarat, and she will delay the tawaf ziyarat until she becomes pure. Right? So it is permitted for her to delay. All the rites of Hajj can be conducted by the woman except tawaf ziyarat. Tawaf ziyarat, she will have to wait until she becomes clean, after which she will go and conduct the tawaf ziyarat. Okay, so go to Makkah, go back to Makkah, perform the 2 rakat of tawaf, do the tawaf, perform 2 rakat of tawaf, let the tawaf be the last thing you do in Makkah. Whenever you decide to leave Makkah, make sure that this tawaf is the last. This is called tawaf al-wida, the farewell tawaf. Okay, going home, before going home, if you know people are going from Makkah, if they're going home from Makkah, then you know that's fine, then this is Tawaf al-Wida. But if they're going from to Medina, then it is preferred to visit the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, but this is not part of the Hajj. Right? But once again, it is something which is preferred. So this is the full overview of how Hajj is going to be performed. This is specifically Hajj al-Tamattu. As you can see, this is the Miqat. It starts from the Miqat, right? You go over here, right, to Makkah, and from Makkah, you go to Mina. From Mina, you go to Arafah. From Arafah, you go to Muzdalifah. From Muzdalifah, you go back to Mina. From Mina, you go back to Makkah. So everything has been, the whole procedure has been thoroughly specified. So starting from Miqat to Makkah, from Makkah to Mina, from Mina to Arafah, from Arafah to Muzdalifah, from Muzdalifah back to Mina. Okay? So there are some concessions and dispensations. This is why it is recommended that you go with a scholar so that he can tell you where there are some certain concessions, where there are certain dispensations. For example, the staying in Mina, it is, if one feels that it is very hard, or if you're sick or something, then you don't have to stay the nights in Mina. Right? This was a question that was asked, that someone was sick and he wanted to stay at the hotel, so it was permitted for him to stay, and there's no kafa, there's no dam as well. He is not obligated to give any type, because according to the Ahnaf, the stay in Mina is something which is sunnah. So if it is done, if the person is not staying in Mina if he is not staying in Mina because he has a shari'i uzr, then there's no dam, there's nothing. And even if he has no uzr and he just decides that, you know, I'm going to stay in the hotel, there's still no dam, but he will be sinful. He will be sinful. So, हाँ कंकड़ियाँ हाँ कंकड़ियाँ तो मारनी पड़ेगी बस ये मबीत के लिए है कंकड़ियाँ तो हर हाल में मारनी पड़ेगी you will always have to pelt the shayateen but just to stay in Mina this is not obligatory so usually people they stay in Shisha bin Dawood or they stay in Aziziya well one of the two places I think Shisha bin Dawood there's no stores there it's a lot more convenient Shisha bin Dawood and you know, it's more closer to the Jamarat as well. You just have to walk and that's it. But there are no stores there. You know, I guess people tend to lean towards staying in Aziziya because there's a lot of stores and everything and they want to shop after the Hajj. So, you know, I guess it would be okay, it would be better to stay at Aziziya. Okay, so are there any questions regarding this? Yeah, that's not... on the first day, it's fine. But the second, the 11th, and 12th. On the 10th, it's fine to do it after, because this was the time to do Jamaratul Aqba after the sunrise. You know, you can go and pelt the stones. But 11th and 12th, one has to pelt after the Zawal. But there is rukhsat for women to delay until, you know, the Maghrib time. Right? Because if there is a lot of hujum and a lot of zahma, عورت کے لئے مکروہ نہیں ہے البتہ مرد کے لئے ہاں مکروہ ہے تو مرد کے لئے تو ضروری ہے جی but آج کل الحمدللہ it's not very hard it's very easy بہت آسان ہو گیا ہے اب تو وہاں escalators بھی ہے اور یہ ایک ہی بس ایک entrance ہے اور ایک exit بھی ہے ہاں پہلے نہیں تھا اس طرح اور کافی لمبا بھی ہو گیا میرا آج کل تو وہ ایک وہ بیزمنٹ بھی ہے جہاں سے گاڑیاں بھی گزرتی ہے اور گاڑیاں سے وہ لوگ کنکڑیاں مارتے ہیں ہاں 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 now there is نیچے گاڑیاں باتی ہے اور گاڑیاں سے ہی لوگ مارتے ہیں کنکڑیاں تو ٹھیک ہے it's fine But once again, it's better to, you know, completely fulfill the rites of Hajj and just, you know, it's more of a symbolic gesture than anything. You're not really hitting the shaitan. It's a symbolic gesture and it should be done properly. How often does a person go for Hajj? You know, ek martaba, do martaba, teen martaba. To Hajj ke andar zaruri hai ke sab hum jo bhi manasik hai wo achhi tarike se kiya jaye. Okay. So inshallah we will, it's very long. Okay, inshallah, we will continue with details regarding Hajj al-Tamattu, inshallah, next week. It's quite long, the slide. But I think to thoroughly explain the Hajj, especially for people who have not done it, these slides are necessary because the pictures are there and, you know, it's very detailed. So, inshallah, we'll continue with it next week. Jazakallah khair.